take a little detour from that today and put that on pause till next week and just focus on a message of Thanksgiving this morning. The first day of Thanksgiving was celebrated in this country in 1621 by the Pilgrims, but certainly there were days of Thanksgiving far before that time. And this morning we're going to look at a day of Thanksgiving from God's Word that dates back until about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And as we look at this day of Thanksgiving, we're going to see David and the Israelites giving thanks and praise to God for certain reasons. And we're going to look at those words and see how that can continue to guide our own thanks and praise to God in this day. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and we do praise you. We thank you for so much you have done for us and in us and through us. And Lord, as we come to this time now, may it just instill in us a greater attitude of thanksgiving and praise that is reflected further in our thinking, in the words that we speak, in the actions of our lives. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As we'll see in the coming weeks in our study of Genesis, God's going to appear to a man named Abram. And he's going to call him out of the home that he lived in, and he's going to call him to a new land. And he's going to make a covenant with Abram. He's going to also rename him to Abraham. His covenant with him is going to include that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heaven, that he will be given a land, and that through him and his descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. We're going to see that he not only makes that promise to Abraham, but we're going to see he makes that promise as well to Isaac and to Jacob. And Jacob's going to be renamed by God to Israel. And Jacob and his wives are going to have 12 sons, and they're going to form the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Israelites will become the Old Testament people of God. We're going to see all of that. And one of the things that represented God's presence among the Israelites was the Ark of the Covenant. God had commanded Moses, who was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to build an ark. And in the ark, it contained the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. It contained the jar of manna, and it contained Aaron's staff. And again, this just represented God's presence among his people. And we're going to see about 450 years after the ark was made, the Israelites were in the promised land. They had gone on living and experiencing different things. And at that time, they find themselves in a battle with the Philistines. And as the battle's going on, it's not going so well. So the Israelites think, if we just bring the Ark of the Covenant to the presence of God out into the battlefield, things will go much better. So they call for the Ark, and it comes out. And here's what it says, what happens at 1 Samuel 4, 5, and 8. All Israel raised such a great shout, the ground shook. That's when the Ark came into the camp. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us." Philistines thought they were in big trouble. But because of Israel's unfaithfulness, the Philistines defeated the Israelites, and they took the Ark of the Covenant into their possession. They took the Ark of the Covenant back to their homeland, and they placed it in the temple of their god, Dagon. They put it right next to the statue of Dagon in his temple, thinking this was their prize, that their god Dagon had defeated the god of the Israelites. And the next morning they came into the temple, and the statue of Dagon was on the ground laying on its face. So they put it back up. Next morning, they come in on the face again, only this time the head and the hands are broken off the statue. And then widespread affliction broke out among the Philistine people. And after a time, they decided that this was no prize, that they offended the God of the Israelites. So they came up with a plan of putting the ark on a cart and having a couple cattle just leave. And they put on the cart as well as with the ark, they put a guilt offering. They were sorry to the God of the Israelites forever taking the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the ark goes back to the nation of Israel. The cattle lead back to the nation of Israel. But the Israelites don't really know what to do with it. It ends up staying in a home of a man living in a small village about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. And there the ark remained for 20 years. It was a time of uncertainty, mourning, and repentance for the Israelites. And then King David comes to power. And the Israelites are again more faithful to the Lord. And David determines that it's time for the ark to come to Jerusalem. So they go out and they get the ark. And they essentially have a parade. And the parade is led by musicians, almost like a marching band in a parade. Musicians, it included priests, the priest of the Levite priest. It included the elders of Israel, the military leaders, and King David himself. First Chronicles says this about the parade. So all of Israel brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to Jerusalem with shouts of joy. The blowing of horns and trumpets, the crashing of cymbals, and the loud playing on harps and lyres. And it also goes on to say that King David came into Jerusalem among this parade, dancing and just being a fool for God. The Israelites were so thankful that God and his presence with the ark had returned to them. And this certainly would have led them to think back on all the blessings that God had given to them. He had called them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his people. They were the chosen people of God. And he blessed them abundantly. Part of that blessing included that he led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. And in doing that, he parted the Red Sea and they went through. He brought them into the promised land, a land of great prosperity for the nation of Israel. He blessed them abundantly. They defeated all of their enemies initially. They became the great nation that God said that they would become. They even probably reflected on their disobedience to God and the discipline that he carried out on their lives. And on an individual level, they probably were reflecting on how they were prosperous individually and in their marriages and in their families as they followed the ways of God. They probably reflected on the fact that he allowed them to have great purpose and meaning in their life as they displayed God's image in their lives to bring him glory. And as all of this is taking place, this great day of thanksgiving is occurring, King David wrote a psalm especially for this day and the return of the ark. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we go through this song from 1 Chronicles 16:8. We're just going to quickly look over some of the things that it is describing Israel should do in response to God. And it begins with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Obviously, David was telling his people that our lives need to be characterized by thanksgiving as we reflect on God and his blessings. Goes on to say, "And sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works." So give thanks, do it in song, in praise, glory in his name. Glory can also be translated as boast. Boast in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Be filled with joy in all that is happening. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. And that's just essentially saying, if we want to continue to be thankful like we should be, we need to keep seeking the Lord in our life. We need to continue to be filled with his strength. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, the miracles and the judgments he has uttered. reflecting back on all the thanksgivings of God can really help us to have a better attitude, can it? And that's what is being proclaimed here as well. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. Sing to the Lord, all of the earth, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And then finally, we wrap up with this, verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God, our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. And so this psalm is saying, give thanks and praise to God, rejoice in him. But the psalm is also saying, but don't stop there. David is also telling his people, let it flow out to others. Let it flow out to each of us, and let it flow out to the people around us. As he says, make known his deeds among the peoples. Tell others what God has done. And again, he's saying, let's do that among us. Let's tell each other what God has done for us. But not just each other. He goes on to say, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. So let's just not keep it to ourselves. Let's go out and let's share it with others. That's what this psalm of praise and thanksgiving is focused on. As they're celebrating this day of thanksgiving, 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Now, as we think about all of this, we're far different than the Israelites of the Old Testament in many ways, aren't we? They were much, much different in many ways than us. But in many ways, God's chosen people of the Old Testament are very similar to us who have faith in Jesus Christ today. Many of the same things are true. If you and I have faith in Jesus Christ, then we are the children of God. And that's what God's word declares. John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And Galatians 3:26, so you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, if we have faith in God, heartfelt faith in Christ, then we are God's children. And everything about that belongs to us. So the Old Testament people of God, the chosen people of God, had the Ark of the Covenant to represent God's presence among them. Do we have anything like that today? Well, we have something far greater than an ark. First of all, we have God himself coming to us. And we see this in John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Jesus came to us, the New Testament people. He took on flesh. The full representation of God dwelt among this world. We're able to see God. Jesus came and he died on a cross, and we know that through the Word of God. So maybe we haven't seen Christ directly ourselves, but he's been here, hasn't he? And he died not just for those people who were living when he was here, but for all of us who had faith in him. He did that for us. So God has been with us, and Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But Jesus didn't remain here, did he? He went into heaven, but he said, I'm going to send somebody. So we have something else that represents God among us, and that's his Holy Spirit. And we see that in Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So if we have faith in God, we have the Holy Spirit in our life, don't we? And that's changed us, hasn't it? It's changed us in amazing ways. It's taken us who were spiritually dead and made us alive, right? We were once spiritually dead, and through faith in Christ, we've been made alive. He's gifted and empowered us to serve in unique ways. We all have different gifts and talents that can be used to love on people and to bring glory to God. He's working in us to sanctify us, to make us holy, to make us different than we were before. And again, if our faith in Christ is genuine, we are different. We're new creations. We should have different thinking and attitudes, and our words and our actions of our lives should be far different than when we first became a Christian. For some of us, that's been a long time. So we should be very different than we were when we started being Christian. And a lot of you don't know how I was when I first became a Christian, but I'm a completely different person than that time. Some of you you're a Christian for a shorter time. And so maybe you're not as different as what you will be in time. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. The Holy Spirit also helps us understand and remember the Word of God. It helps us understand the will of God for our lives. So God's presence is powerfully around us in this world. His presence is with us. And because of that, we're blessed, aren't we? We are blessed abundantly. We have been delivered from slavery as well, haven't we? We've been delivered from the slavery of sin and the consequences that come with that. We've been delivered by God and His power through the Holy Spirit. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we receive all the blessings that come from us, come with that. We are the children of God if we have faith in Christ. And part of that blessing is, this is part of the family of God here, and we get to share blessings with each other that bring great joy to our life. God is also willing to discipline us if we need it. Like a loving father disciplines his children, God disciplines us. It's part of his love, part of his blessings. He's given our lives great meaning and purpose, hasn't he? As we're able to live, not just for ourselves or even for our immediate family, we're able to live by displaying God and glorifying him. What an amazing thing that is. Isn't it awesome to be used by God in ways that impact people and bring God glory? Isn't that one of the greatest things that we can experience in this world? That's part of the blessings that we have because we're the chosen people of God. He's blessed our lives individually. He's blessed our marriages and our families. He's blessed us in so many amazing ways. So, like the Old Testament people of God, the Israelites, we too, if we have faith in Christ, we're the chosen people of God. And his presence is with us in a powerful way. And he has blessed our lives abundantly. And should that lead to our thanksgiving of God? More so even than the Old Testament people. Because we far more understand what is the truth than they did. And they didn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their individual lives as we do. So our thanksgiving to God should be even more powerful than theirs. So as we reflect on this psalm again, give thanks to the Lord, sing praise to him, glory in his name, rejoice, remember his wondrous works he has done. Sing to the Lord, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Give thanks to the Lord. We may give thanks to your holy name and glorify in your praise. That should reflect us, shouldn't it? And again, not just that we do that to God. We should certainly do that to God. But God's saying, do more than that. Share it with each other. Make known his deeds among the peoples. I mean, shouldn't we, and doesn't it bless us when we're able to say, do you know what God did for us? Do you know what God did for me? And we can share that with others as well. And just say, here's what God's done in my life, and he can do that in your life as well. Amen? He can he? So we're called to do that. So just kind of to wrap things up this morning, for us who have faith in Jesus Christ, we are the chosen people of God. His presence is powerfully with us. He's blessed us in so many wonderful ways. And really for us, shouldn't every day be a day of thanksgiving? That's what should constantly characterize our lives. Our lives should be filled with thanksgiving and praise continuously. yeah, we have some junk we face in this world because it's a corrupted world. But Scripture says all of that's just temporary stuff. The good stuff lasts for all of eternity. And the best is yet to come. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to come and die on a cross to save us from our sins. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reside in us through faith in you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we're a new creation, that our lives have been transformed, and that our lives have been abundantly blessed in so many wonderful and so many powerful ways. And part of the reason for all of that is that we can praise and thank you and display your image and glory in our lives. May we continue to do that faithfully. May you continue to be magnified, Lord, in this time, in this service today. May you continue to be magnified as we have attitudes of thanksgiving and praise as we go forth tomorrow and in the days and weeks and months and years ahead that you have for us until we're home with you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Lord, we also just want to lift up whatever the situation is here and the need. We ask your blessing on that situation, and we pray your blessing on those in need and those who are providing the care for that. And we pray this in your name as well, Jesus. Amen.